Hi, today is August 5th, 2017. This is Mobile's podcast number 216. I'm Todd Agasawara, and my good friend John Westfall is not here. He is on a super secret mission in Washington, D.C., I'm told. So hopefully he's having a lot of fun there doing whatever it is he's doing. But today I've got an all-Hawaii guest panel with me. My good friends Paul Lawler and Ricky Lee in alphabetical order. Paul, you want to introduce yourself? Or you've been on before.
I have. I'm an all-purpose geek. I teach information technology and tourism at the University of Hawaii School of Travel Industry Management, so I can identify with a lot of John Westfall's challenges. And I also have my own consulting firm, my largest client being the Hawaii Visitors and Convention Bureau.
Ah, nice. Nice. And Ricky, you are also an all-purpose talent.
Yes, I used to be in IT, but I escaped about 10 years ago. Now I'm a social media consultant and an all-around geek.
Yeah, and a professional photographer.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah,
excellent. And videographer. I get paid to do videos too, so.
Yeah.
And videographer.
An excellent one, I should mention. Anyway, and we had one more friend who was supposed to join us, Ryan Ozawa, who had been on podcast a couple of months ago. But life happens and was able to join us. Maybe next time we'll have another all-Hawaii panel, or even if it's not all-Hawaii, we'll have Ryan back on one of these days. At any rate, so my first question to you guys, since I haven't spoken to you in a while, is what phones are you using, Paul?
I have two phones, which I've always had. I have an iPhone 7 Plus.
Okay.
And I just got rid of my old Android phone and got a new Moto Z Play. And the interesting thing about the Moto Z Play is that because it's part of the Moto Z family, it can use all of these mods that are available. And they have mods that range from a snap-on Hasselblad camera go ahead.
A Hasselblad camera?
Yes.
It's not a real Hasselblad, though.
It's not a real Hasselblad, okay. And it's... it's a terrible mod, and don't buy it. But the other mods that they have are actually kind of fun. There's a little video projector. There's speakers. There's a battery pack. There's a wireless charging thing. So when you look at the phone itself, basically the back of the phone just kind of pops off, and then you can add on any mod that you would like to add on. So our audience, of course, cannot see this, but essentially this is what happens. The back just comes off, and then you pick any other mod that you want to add in, and it's magnetic, and it just snaps into place.
That's so nice. You don't have to turn off the phone.
Yeah.
You don't have to turn off the phone.
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable.
It automatically recognizes it. The mods also have their own built-in batteries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So they don't use the battery on your phone.
So that kind of reminds me of the old Compaq iPac Pocket PC, which had a sled that would slide onto the Pocket PC, which added its own battery, which would power both the pocket, provide additional power for the Pocket PC, as well as a Compaq Flash, and I think even PC cards you could sting in it. So I had a PC card for Wi-Fi and Ethernet and GPS, and it was huge. But it was very handy in the days when portable devices didn't have all that stuff built in like they do now.
Right.
And what's so bad about the Hasselblad? I mean, other than it's probably fake.
I'll let Ricky address it.
Okay, Ricky.
It's, like I said, it's a fake Hasselblad. I forget who the exact manufacturer is, but, you know, it's a made-in-China camera that was OEM'd by Hasselblad. Basically, they just stamped their name on it.
Mm.
So it's not a true Hasselblad, but then again, Hasselblad isn't a true Hasselblad anymore either.
Right.
Yeah, they're majority owned by DJI now, so...
The drone maker?
Yeah.
Wow.
Its supposed advantage is that it has a 10x optical zoom.
Yeah, and?
But from every... all the reviews I've read have all said, it's terrible, don't buy it.
Well, that's too bad. It would have been pretty cool if it really was nice.
It never went to the moon.
All right. And Ricky, what are you using these days? I know you just changed phones too.
Yes, I dual-wield phones too. I have a Google Pixel XL and a iPhone 6S. Oh. Yeah, 6S, yeah.
That you use with your drone.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in that strange situation with the drone where some features work better on Android and other features work better on iOS. So you have to have both operating systems just to, yeah. You know, people will say it's not true, but like, well, that's what happens.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, and what about tablets, Paul? Are you using a tablet these days, or is your phone just big enough?
So instead of a tablet, I still have my old iPad, which I basically use to take attendance in class. I actually have an app that uses the camera on it, and I give all my students QR codes. Mm-hmm. And so they just come in and they wave the QR code on their phone at the iPad, and it checks them in.
I like it.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. It works fabulously.
You know, if you had them put the QR code on a wand, it would be like checking into Hogwarts.
Well, it's actually interesting because the first semester I did it, I laminated all the QR codes for them.
Yeah.
And then the lady who is in charge of the laminating machine yelled at me and said, You can't do this. You're using up all my supplies.
Oh.
I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And she said, just have them take a picture of it with their phone. I go, that's not going to work. And of course, I'm wrong. It works perfectly.
Interesting.
So I just give them a slip of paper. They take a picture of it, and then they use their phone to check in.
I like it. I like it.
So you've replicated the boarding pass from the airlines.
Exactly.
Okay, so next step is to embed
RFID chip.
RFID chip, right, like my friend did.
In the students?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys heard the podcast I did with my friend Andy from Sweden, but he embedded a RFID chip in his hand. And he's also a consultant for Swedish Airlines and so forth. And so he worked with them, so he can now go through security, boarding, and their lounge just by waving his hand.
I would do it.
Interesting.
I would do it, yeah.
I would probably do it, too, if I had that kind of convenience out of it.
Mm-hmm. There's a company somewhere on the mainland that offered to put RFIDs in their employees for...
I saw that.
Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah. That one I don't know if I would do. That's your employer. But, I general purpose RFID, I wouldn't mind having one.
Yeah. It's only $99, by the way. And you can mail order it. And what he did is he had a nurse do the incision and implantation for him, I think. So, Yeah. That was pretty interesting. Okay. And tablet, Ricky.
I just recently acquired a iPad Pro 10.5 inch, and I really, really like it.
Which is surprising, because you're not a real big fan of Apple's products.
No, it's interesting. I'm not sure why. Something about this product just works.
And I think I also bought one, same model, and I suspect that we will both be even happier when iOS 11 emerges in a couple of months.
I have been using the beta.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I will be very glad when it stops crashing my iPad. Uh-huh. Yeah. The strangest bug I've encountered so far is it disables the hardware buttons.
Yikes. That's
not good.
Yeah,
it's very inconvenient. Yeah.
Wow. A little bit.
So you then reset it by...
Well, the first time it happened, I had to wait for it to power off and then, run out of battery and... Oh, plug it back in and boot it back up again. After that, I turned on the software screen button, and it still happens, but at least I have a way to get into it now.
Wow.
As long as the screen is awake.
Wow. No, yeah. I have not sacrificed any of my devices to Apple's beta. And it's not that I'm afraid of betas. I've run a lot of betas in my life. In fact, I'm still running Microsoft's Windows 10 current beta, or whatever they call them, the Windows Insider release on one of my tablets, but I don't know. At iOS, it's just it's my lifeline. You know, I can't function without a functional iPad and iPhone. So just to
I'm living on the edge. My iPad is on the beta. My Pixel XL is on Android O beta.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, oh, by the way, it's really good. The Android O, it's really, really good.
Yeah, what's so good about it?
Well, everybody tells me that the features I keep talking about are included in other skinned Android, I can't remember, the launchers, but,
okay.
You know, there's stuff like the 3D touch from iOS now exists in the Android world where you press a little bit harder and like on the Wi-Fi icon,
right.
And you get a list of Wi-Fi networks you can join.
Hmm.
Versus so, you just tap it to turn it on and turn it off.
Right, so a long press.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. My current phone, and I guess I should join the... I should list out what I'm using. So like both of you, I also have two phones. One, I have iPhone 7 Plus and a very old Google Nexus 6, not 6P. I should say Motorola Nexus 6, which is now 2 years old, and it has not been able to get an update since late last year because Google does not support their Nexus devices past 18 to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so interesting.
My Nexus 6 is aged out of the upgrade pool, so it will never see Android O. However, I am planning. It is now 2 years old this month, so I'm hoping. And by hoping, I mean depending how cheap I feel, or rich I feel, to replace it when the new whatever Google announces for their new Google phones. Because
the
like
Pixel
you,
Ricky, too.
Yeah. Like Ricky, I'm a Google Fi user, so I pretty much need to. I mean, I don't have to, but if I want all the bands, I need to stay with. With a Google phone, a Google-approved Google Fi phone.
Well, I've only been a Pixel 5 user since yesterday, so we'll see how it goes. And I really only got it because I'm traveling next month, so yeah. I kind of wanted that international roaming thing.
It is awesome, Ricky. I had two trips to the UK last year.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase that. Yeah, this year. God.
Okay.
Yeah. Was it last year? No, okay, now I'm zoning out, getting old. Last year, yeah, 2016, I went to the UK twice to visit my daughter and who was doing a study abroad there. And took my Google Fi-enabled Nexus 6. And I spent a total of about, about 13 days in country.
Mm-hmm.
My total, for two trips, my total roaming charges were about $9.50. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That we can contrast that with an employee of a firm that I work for who will remain nameless, who went to Canada and racked up a $900 bill.
Ooh.
Now, there is a way around that too, by the way, depending on what carrier you're on. So my daughter went to Canada twice this year. She travels a lot. You would think she'd be taking one of Paul's classes, but no, travel industry management, but no, she's not. She went to Canada twice this year. Excuse me. And she's on AT&T with me. She's on a family plan with me. But I set her up with AT&T's relatively new global something plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically you pay $10 a day for voice, text, and data.
How much data?
Whatever your plan has.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. Oh, and she also went to Australia a couple of weeks ago, and so that was $10 a day too. And I told her just use it like you normally would. Don't worry about the data. If you get lost, use the maps. If you want to, upload a picture to Instagram or whatever, do it. That'll be okay. And it was. So not quite the, $10 for 2 weeks, but $10 a day roaming is pretty reasonable, I think.
Yeah, because I think Verizon is something in the neighborhood of 50 cents a megabyte, and those rack up really fast.
Oh, yeah.
My main carrier, the one that I've got for the family, we use T-Mobile, and they have unlimited international roaming at 2G speeds.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, yeah, that works, but not really.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, your Google Fi, when you're roaming, you'll be on T-Mobile. T-Mobile.
Okay.
Yeah. But, and I'll say this but. So I noticed in parts of London, England, and parts of Edinburgh, Scotland, I was seeing LTE speeds on my Google Fi service through T-Mobile. So I think it's not, it's generally, it's probably 2G, but I saw LTE speeds in a couple of places.
I don't know. Right now, I'm not that impressed. The Google Fi, my Pixel locked onto the Sprint network, and I'm seeing about 6 megabits up and down. I'm like, that isn't exactly LTE, but we'll see.
Yeah, Sprint's really slow.
Yeah.
That's been my experience, too. But, well, you know, the price is right. It's hard to
Right.
Yeah, especially for traveling, and I can pause the account after. The only thing I was kind of annoyed with was I lost my Google Voice number.
Yeah, that's why I had to create two accounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I created two Gmail accounts. One kept my Google Voice service and number, and the other is on my Google Fi, which made for interesting configurations, but it works. You can have two accounts on your Google Fi phone. It's okay.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah.
Also, just to circle back to your original question of what tablet I'm using.
Oh, yeah.
I bought the, as you know from our discussion about the Chromebook, I bought the Microsoft Surface Book.
Oh, that's right.
Which detaches and becomes a tablet. So that's my primary tablet.
How do you like that?
I actually like it a lot.
And you're using it as a tablet a lot or mostly as a laptop?
I use it as a tablet a lot.
Interesting. Because, you know, I don't have one personally, but at work, my only PC at work is a Surface Pro 4, and I rarely use its tablet features because the software that I use, like Microsoft Office and Chrome and that sort of thing, really aren't touchable, or at least to me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
But I don't do that kind of work on the Surface usually. Mm-hmm. I try to use things that are touchable.
Okay.
There is one feature about the whole Windows. Is it Continuum where you get to use the same app all over the place?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I forget what it is, but, you know, since I'm in social media, I can use the native Instagram app on Windows. So I don't have to resort to my mobile devices when I upload pictures. I just stick it in my pictures folder and it shows up in the Instagram. It's really convenient that way.
Oh, interesting.
Although I did discover in preparation for this call that Skype for Business and regular Skype do not talk to each other.
No, they're totally different.
Really?
Yeah. Skype for Business is the old Microsoft Link, LYNC.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
I think that came out right when I was exiting the IT industry.
Yeah.
Well, but now Microsoft.
It's like IBM in the old days. Everything was WebSphere, right? Even if they had nothing to do with each other.
But now Microsoft has once again figured out a way to totally confuse clueless employees who get Office 365, think that they have Skype when they have Skype for Business and can't talk to anybody else on Skype.
Yeah. and their corporate policy is probably not to use personal Skype anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, too bad.
But they did the same thing with OneDrive, right? There's OneDrive for business.
For business, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And they finally, just a couple months ago, linked the clients together so you can download the new OneDrive client and access both your personal OneDrive and your OneDrive for business. Right.
Which is probably driving enterprise cybersecurity folks nuts. But anyway.
I'm so glad I don't exist in that space anymore.
I did want to mention something since Paul mentioned he got a Moto Z phone. And that is, I read, let me look at my notes. Yeah, Lenovo. Lenovo owns Motorola now, right?
Right. The phone division
is moving away from the custom UI back to stock Android for its UI, which I applaud because I hate those Android skins. They do nothing but cause trouble, reduce the ability to upgrade in a timely fashion, and are generally terrible.
True. I mean, some had their advantages. I forgot one of the skins. Well, everything but the default Android one, the default Google skin, had notification pop-ups next to the icon.
Mm.
Google still doesn't have that, which I really like on iOS, and I wish existed on the Android sites by stock-wise, not
yeah.
You load some other launcher. Yeah.
See, since I have not used anything except stock Android phones since the Nexus 1, I have no idea what you're talking about, Ricky.
Look on your iOS device. You see that little red thing with this with the numbers in it. We don't have that on Android.
See, I kind of mentally... My iPhone is my iPhone, and my Android is my Nexus 6P is a 6P, and they're like different universes, you know? When I pick up one, I have a set of expectations. I pick up the other one, I have a different set of expectations, and as long as they meet those differences of expectations, I'm pretty happy. Anyway.
True confessions, the first thing I did when I got the Moto Z is to install the Google launcher instead of the Moto Z launcher.
Yeah, the Google launcher is nice, which I think is going away though, right?
Yeah, the Google Now launcher is being retired.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. For the Google Assistant, right? Or whatever
it's called. Yeah, Google Now is going away.
Which is too bad. It's really nice. And Ricky, I'm looking at the notes that we shared with each other. It looks like you bought something. Again.
Yes, again. So because of the trip and the whole TSA taking away everything, right?
Yeah.
I did not want to bring a laptop with me because I'm traveling internationally next month. Mm. So because I have the drone, I wanted a way to still edit my videos and not take forever. And I found this hardware video editing device called a Narbox. Is there a way I can share URLs?
Yeah, you can send it in the... you can just paste it into the Google Docs.
Oh.
He did.
I see it.
Mm.
Okay. So it's about the size of a 3.5-inch hard drive. It's got a quad-core Intel processor in it.
Huh.
Running, I'm assuming, an open-source video editor in there. Because I can load in my 4K drone videos, 1080p videos... Let it edit. It's just like using iMovie on your iPhone, or we don't have an equivalent on the Android side. But, you know, quickly edit it, and I can put together a 5-minute highlight reel in less than 10-15 minutes real time.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive. And it's not expensive, too. Full retail is $299, but right now they've got the whole early adopter thing going, and it's like $260.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I see a note that you're looking for international travel tips, and since Paul is an actual teacher of such things.
We kind of went over it with the whole Google Fi thing.
I have one more tip for you.
What?
If you have a TSA Global Access card, they will not make you check your laptop in separately.
I have pre-check right now, and I've applied for global entry. Okay. But I'm not sure it'll come in by the time I have to fly.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, it's the best $85 I've ever spent.
Yeah. Well, yes. Global Access is a whole 100, Paul.
Right. But I mean the domestic pre-check.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It is it's not a lifesaver. It is an anxiety saver. It's like, oh my gosh.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Wait, did I mute myself? I don't know if I muted myself while I was coughing.
No, it's okay. I'm coughing too. I'm not sure this mute button works well. Anyway. Hey, Paul, you got any tips since you are the TIM kind of guy?
I do have a traveling tip.
Yes.
Are you familiar with Tile?
Yes.
So I have Tiles. I have one attached to my backpack. I have one attached to my keys. I have one in my suitcase. And the last time I took a trip, I took my keys out and put them in the little dog dish at TSA. I arrived on the mainland, reached in my pocket, and no keys.
Oh, no.
So I pulled out my phone. Sure enough, it showed my keys were at Honolulu International Airport. Called up TSA, described the keys. They said, oh, yeah, we've got it. We'll hold on to it for you. Come and pick it up as soon as you get back.
And were they there when you got back?
And they were there.
Wow.
On the flip side, you don't have to worry about your keys being stolen during your trip because they're being held by the government.
Right. But the other thing that Tile does is it creates a mesh network with all Tile users.
Yeah.
So for every, I don't know, every couple of days, my app pops up and says, oh, you just helped someone else find their Tile.
Oh, nice.
Because if my app sees any Tile, it will register it and report to Tile that it saw it.
How much does it cost?
They have deals, but they're around $20.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not too bad.
And they last for a year and a half or so. Non-replaceable battery.
Yeah, someone recommended me to try out Tracker without an E. Because it has a replaceable battery, but yeah, maybe I'll try the Tile. Yeah.
I've tried Tracker, and I will recommend Tile to you.
Okay.
So is Tile passive, Paul?
In the sense that...
It doesn't need a battery?
No, it does have a battery.
Oh, it does have a battery.
Yeah, okay. But it's a sealed device.
Okay.
So it's waterproof, and a battery will last you about a year and a half, year and a half.
Okay.
When your battery starts to run out, it'll come up and say, oh, your battery's running out soon. Would you like to order a new Tile at a discount?
Nice.
And it chirps. So you can, from my phone, I can chirp it. The only thing that I wish it had, and Tracker does have, is the leash feature where I can say if my Tile and my phone are separated by more than Bluetooth range, to set off the alarm on the Tile.
Oh, okay. I didn't try that. I got a Tracker to play with a few months ago, and it hooks into my Alexa, so I can ask Alexa where I left my stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, we just set off Alexas in fives of homes now. which are you heading, Ricky? Are you heading towards Asia or towards Europe?
Yeah, to Asia. I have some family stuff to take care of. So I figured since I'm going to go in that direction anyway, I'm doing two countries, going home to Hong Kong and then the family stuff in Philippines.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there are any other tips. But
How does that work with the phones? Because I know like Japan uses TDMA, so they... Regular phones don't work there.
Well, you know, somebody told me they took an iPhone or Verizon iPhone to Japan and it just worked.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I know for Hong Kong specifically, because I've traveled there before, they've got enough competition and carriers that they pretty much cover both GSM, CDMA, TDMA, whatever. They've got at least one provider for that network. So Hong Kong, I'm not worried about. I'm pretty sure I could just bring my T-Mobile chip and it'll work.
The Philippines I was wondering about.
Yeah, the Philippines, I'm not sure. But then again, I'll be disconnected, so that'll be a good thing too, right?
Yeah. You can check Google Fi has a pretty good list of cities. And basically any place T-Mobile works, Google Fi will work.
When I looked at the Google Fi for Philippines, it was specifically the cities, and I'll be going into rural Philippines, so we'll see.
Yeah, and that is not unusual. I know when I was in Scotland, it worked, even in Edinburgh, you know, which is a big city. You could walk and three blocks in one direction, T-Mobile would just cut out. Or, you know, the Google Fi, T-Mobile would cut out.
And I'm not surprised. It was cutting out in Kauai.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'd walk past the hotel and then I'd lose signal. Like, that's just like...
Yeah. And in London, there was one. This was the day I was. So it was, I went, as I like to tell people, I went to London to pick up my daughter from school. so it was end of school, and she was taking a bus or train down from her school to London. And I went over to meet her at the station. And so I, you know, being cheap, I said, well, I'll spring for a taxi back to the hotel. But I'll take a nice walk through Hyde Park to go meet her. So that seemed like it was a nice day and everything. So I hop out of my hotel, and I, you know, look at my Google Fi phone, and I go to Google Maps and tell them, give me walking directions, right? And I'd already taken the walk to test it, so I knew it'd work. T-Mobile went down all day.
Oh, wow.
Ouch.
But fortunately, the hotel I was in, what was it called? Paddington Courtyard, something like that. The room came with a free Android phone.
Really?
With free service, unlimited data, text, voice.
Wow.
And they said, here, this is for you to use while you stay here. It was sitting in a little charging stand with a little instruction sheet.
Yeah.
You know, feel free to use it as you wander around London. And so I didn't think I would ever use it, but I activated it just to play with it because it was a toy while I was waiting for my daughter. And I just popped it out of my bag and I popped my headphones in and got walking directions that way.
Yeah, actually, that's a good tip. One of my friends back home in Hong Kong told me that specifically, that some of the hotels are now giving cheap phones.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming Android phones that are just meant for you to use like exactly how you said it. Instead of a room phone, now it's the Android phone.
Right.
Like,
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
First time I had ever seen that. And it turned out to be a lifesaver because, you know, I kind of knew how to get to the station walking since I'd practiced. But I wasn't entirely sure, and I was still too cheap to actually get in the cab and tell me to keep me to Victoria Station, you know. So.
Right.
But on the other hand, you're in England and they speak somewhat English.
No.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble with that. I'm from Hong Kong. I'm allowed to say that.
Okay, this is what I found in London, okay? When just walking around, mostly I heard German and Russian. I did not hear a lot of English being spoken. And in Edinburgh, mostly I heard Mandarin. Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to skip that comment.
The first time I went to the UK, I walked out of the airport and I looked up and there was a billboard with a picture of a Toyota.
Okay.
And the caption on it was, "What it lacks in boot, it makes up in welly."
What?
And I said, okay, this is a language I speak. I recognize all of those words. I have no idea what that says.
Did you ever find out?
I did. The guy with me says, oh, it means it doesn't have much trunk space, but it has good acceleration.
Ah, that's
right. And he explained that welly comes from Wellington boots.
Okay.
So like you're stomping on the accelerator, you're giving it, they call it giving it some welly.
Ah. That's pretty funny.
Interesting. Yeah, I know.
I know my daughter had to switch to British spelling in her spelling check in her semester abroad, which she found
it still trips me up. I still spell aluminum versus aluminium.
Aluminium.
Or whichever way it goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Lieutenant.
Or initialized with an S instead of a Z.
Yeah. You'd think they'd get their own language right, but no. We kid.
No comment.
We kid because we love. That's it. You're an okay country, despite Brexit. Anyway, the last item I have on this list, and then we can go freeform or call it a day, whatever, is Ricky has a project he's been running for. How long has this project of yours been running? A couple of years?
2 years in October, and it's called HoloLens.
Mm-hmm.
It's a traveling camera project where I'm sending this camera to different people on the mainland, and for a month they'll photoblog their life, and at the end of the month they send the camera back to me, and I compile a gallery and post it online.
Nice.
So,
And I assume your name is a wordplay on the Hawaii term holo holo, which means to wander around.
Yes. And also, the name came out right when HoloLens came out.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, that's perfect. I just have to double the word. But yeah, it's been pretty good. I've had about 6 people partake in it. You know, it takes a while to send a camera back and forth and sure. stuff like that. So, and in the beginning, we were just... I had this idea for years, and I was always waiting for it to be perfect until somebody told me it will never be perfect. Just do it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the first few people, they had it for more than a month. And then we figured out what that perfect thing was. Cause if a person has the camera too long, they tend to forget about it. Right. It gets put in the corner. So turned out to be a month was a good, it's still novel. They still remember it. And then just right when they're beginning to get tired of it, they send it back.
And what kind of camera is it, Ricky?
It's changed. It started out as a Micro Four Thirds camera.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And now it's a Canon mirrorless camera.
Wow, still nice.
Okay. So it's a good camera. It's not
It's a good camera, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty interesting. The first person I'm getting confused with my numbers. One of the participants, we used to work together in IT in Hawaii, but he went to the mainland, and now he does stuff on oil rigs.
Oh, oh wow.
Yeah, so it was pretty amazing. When I got the camera back, I'm like, this is not IT. This is nowhere near IT. So, wow. Yeah.
So you got, like, photos in the middle of an ocean or... whatever.
Yeah, middle of the ocean, him going into a pipe that leads, I guess, into the oil well.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah. And your website is at holoholo, HOLOHOLOLENS.com. HoloHoloLens.com.
.com, yes.
All right.
And I started running out of friends on the mainland, so if you know anyone who wants to participate, please let me know.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll ask amongst my friends.
I think I asked when your daughter was in England, I think I asked if she wanted to join in, but it's a good thing it didn't work because I found out shipping anywhere outside of the US will instantly cost $100.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We had to ship a few things and you know, shipping costs more than the thing we were sending.
Right. Right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll work it out. I eventually do want to get to people who, not just Hawaii people, but just people in Japan, international. I just want to, I know some people from Hawaii who live in Sweden, and I kind of want to see what their life is like.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, okay, yeah. Now, Ricky, why send them a really nice camera versus just asking them to shoot with whatever they have? What's the... Do you want consistency and image quality?
Yeah, or? Consistency and I don't know. There seems to be something cool about the idea that this inanimate object is traveling the world.
Mm. Right? Like people who send teddy bear traveling.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Sisterhood of... Yeah, I guess I could have used that in the pitch too. Yeah. I've been using Flat Stanley in the pitch, so... But then people say the Flat Stanley is not the same Stanley everybody gets. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. But yes, like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Okay. Well, that is, like I said, I have no news that I felt like talking about this week. I don't know what happened in the tech world this week, but apparently it was not of interest to me. I don't know about you guys. Anything interesting caught your eye or ear?
Nothing really. It seemed like a really quiet week.
Yeah, really.
At least on the tech side.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying. I'm looking at tech meme now, and I don't see anything that I find particularly interesting to discuss.
I think the biggest thing, at least from the tech side that I'm looking at, is Threadripper from AMD, and the new GPUs came out or were released.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing I see, I'm just looking at tech meme. The only thing that might be of interest to some people is people who have a YouTube Red subscription. can now save songs, albums, and playlists for offline listening in the YouTube Music app.
Ah.
And FYI, you do not, you have a YouTube Red account, or you are a YouTube Red subscriber if you subscribe to Google Music, which I do. So it's automatic.
Me too. And I think, was it 2 weeks ago they announced they were merging the services?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because it's already kind of, well, you're already paying for both when you pay for one. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this brings up a rant.
Okay.
Go for it, Paul. And I've heard you kind of make this same rant before, Todd, when you talked about how many times you had bought Beatles music.
Oh, gosh. Don't get me started.
So I've got my iTunes. I've got Amazon. Mm-hmm. And now if I add in Google Music, that's a third music service, which is essentially all delivering me the same music.
I only pay for Google Music. I do not pay for the iTunes Match or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And Amazon Prime, I only pay for Amazon Prime itself, the $99 a year. I don't pay extra for the
music service. Yeah.
So I pay extra because on Prime Day, they offered it for 3 months for 4 cents a month.
I remember that. I remember seeing
that. So I signed up.
See, okay. I don't know if this is illegal, legally sanctioned, but I used to be an iOS person. So I had about 3,000 songs from the iTunes store at one point, and I transferred it over to that iTunes Match, which would give me the unencrypted version, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? And then I used the Google Music Match to upload the unencrypted versions to Google, so now I've synced my two libraries.
Oh.
I was going to do that with Amazon, but then I found out Amazon has a limit, so yes, I just didn't do it anyway. Yeah, so I just didn't do that. But I don't know, that might be a way to get around it. Not all of my music was unencrypted. Some of the older stuff that I bought right when iTunes came out, I guess they just never had a version that was, I don't like
without DRM.
Yeah, without DRM. So right. Those older ones didn't come over, but everything else came over. My Alanis Morissette set.
Oh,
Beatles. Wow. Yeah. That's not,
I may try that.
Google Music has a limit too, but I think it's 25,000 songs.
Yeah, but my library is synced up now, so.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not investing anymore on the Apple side, so.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
No, I meant if Paul's music library is huge. It doesn't.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's 25,000. It's more like 10,000.
Yeah. Well, it's still huge.
Yeah, which is still huge. Yeah. You remember, I'm sure, transferring things with a 1200 or 2400 baud modem.
Oh, yeah. I had a 300 baud.
And if we had digital music at that point, transferring one song would take about 3.5 hours.
Well, you know, not the transfer, but I remember I was just talking to somebody about our first MP3 players. And my first MP3 players could hold maybe 20 songs. And I remember when the iPad came out and it could hold, 1,000 songs?
1,000 songs, roughly. Yeah.
I thought, but it was also $500. And I said, who the heck is going to pay $500 for an MP3 player? Apparently a lot of people.
Yeah.
So much for, my marketing skills.
But I had the Diamond Rio before it became a Diamond Rio.
Oh, MP3 that's what player. I had one of those too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the black one before they became translucent.
Oh, I didn't have a translucent
one. Oh, okay.
The second generation was translucent, and it came with a memory slot.
Oh. No, I didn't have that one. But, it's really weird to be able to carry a good chunk of the library all around with me these days. Mm-hmm. And if you have Wi-Fi, you got everything. But more importantly for me is the photos. So Google Photos is a lifesaver.
So I just recently discovered, as in it was this morning, I found out you could tell the Google Assistant to look for pictures with words in it. Like I was looking for Voltron in my pictures because I have an ancient Voltron toy.
Yeah.
And I was able to tell Google, the Google Assistant, to look for my pictures of Voltron, and it showed up.
Oh, yeah. No,
I didn't know it did that.
Google Photos is amazing. You can, actually, it's not very good in animals. But you can do things like red sky in Hong Kong. And if you have any photos.
In your personal collection?
In your personal collection.
Oh.
So if you
That's what blew my mind, was the personal collection part. Like, I didn't know you'd search that.
Yeah. And here's, it's even more mind-blowing. Okay, so I put in all of my photos that were already digital, right? Including the vast majority of photos prior to 2010 that didn't have any GPS on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can type in things like San Francisco and it'll find a photo I shot in 2002 because it recognizes the building.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I got to try that.
Yeah, it recognizes landmarks. And I don't mean necessarily famous landmarks. It just knows stuff. Like, oh, this building is on, you know, South Market Street in San Francisco or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's not famous. It just knows that it's there and it sees it in your photos. It says, oh, this must be where you are.
Wow.
Yeah, or where you were. You can also type in, like, if you have photos of people, which I assume you do, you could type in Paul and, Paul Lawler, Todd Agassiz, and only find photos that the two of us are both in.
Wow.
If you have named us in your, in your people list.
I guess that would be a little too creepy if it could find you without you tagging it.
Yeah. Although it is kind of creepy because sometimes you'll see, you know, it recognizes faces. It doesn't know who they are, but it'll show you faces, right, that you want to name these people. And, you know, I'll realize, oh, wow, there's a picture of somebody in my photo that I didn't realize was there at the time. You know, like a crowd shot or something.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Facebook keeps mixing me up with Jar of Clay, Clayton. It's every time that happens, I post a picture of it like, I'm not Clay.
Well, that's okay. So it doesn't do a good job with most animals, it turns out, Paul.
So Pepper and the EWR don't get.
Well, if I type in rabbits, it'll mostly get them. But if I type in dogs, it'll also get them. I've typed in something, sea lion, and it finds the rabbits.
Okay.
And here's another tip for you, Ricky. I don't know if you have pets, but it does not recognize most animals with snouts. However, it does recognize cat faces. So if you have a cat, you can name your cat, and it will find your cat by name.
Yes, I used to maintain the account Ashley the Cat on Instagram and Twitter, but I lost both of them because I was lazy.
Oh. So, okay, that's our Google Photos tip. Anyway, guys, I want to thank you. Oh, go ahead. Paul, you got some more?
Just to jump back to Google Music for a second. One of the things that is critical for me with the iTunes is that I can choose what to download and keep on my device as opposed to having to stream. Can you do the same thing with Google Music?
Yeah, with Google Music,
yes, you can.
You can create playlists and things that download to your local device.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also videos. Mm-hmm. So I pay for like TV seasons and movies and things on Google Play every now and then, and I can download them and go.
Yeah.
I can also download YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, that is really good. That's a YouTube Red feature, though, downloading the YouTube videos.
Correct.
Because I was flying a lot last year and flying a lot to Big Island and downloading 43-minute podcasts. Perfect. Oh,
yeah. Perfect, yeah. Yeah, and we are at 48 minutes now, so you can go to the Big Island and listen to yourself. okay, anything else you want to add, Ricky, Paul?
No, that's it.
Nope.
Okay, hey, thanks for joining me on the All Hawaii Podcast. John will be back in a couple of podcasts from now. Maybe we can get Ryan next week. I'll see if you guys are available too. All righty. The All Hawaii Movie Views podcast comes to an end. This is number 216, and I will talk to you next time.